Welcome, Ramnik. So good to have you on the podcast today. Really appreciate that you've taken the time. I know we first connected when you were at City Ventures, and you've invested in some amazing companies. Do you want to tell me a bit about your new venture firm and what you're looking at to invest in?
Certainly. First of all, thank you for the opportunity, Pema, and good to reconnect. A little bit about Proven Capital. It's a firm we founded about a year and a half back on a very unique principle that we call independent yet integrated. So on one hand, we have a single LP, which is Prudential Financial, the insurance company. And what that allows us to do is have a lot of access to their businesses and functions, understand their roadmaps, their gaps, and utilize that insight to identify interesting trends and companies in the startup ecosystem. When we do find them, we leverage their resources as appropriate to do due diligence. And most importantly, when we do invest in these companies, we work very hard to get them connected to the right places at our LP to create that mutual win-win. You know, our companies get access to Prudential ecosystem and revenue and distribution and opportunities there, and Prudential gets access to these great companies for their technologies and capabilities that are important to them. And in doing so, you know, what we've done is they created this highly integrated model with Prudential, a large incumbent in the insurance and wealth management and asset management and property and real estate worlds. But right. Structurally, what we've also done at the same time, Pemo, is to make our structure at the independent from Prudential. So we are a traditional LP-GP relationship, an independent venture firm that happens to have one LP, but our ownership of our management company, our GP entities, et cetera, resides within this team. And that allows us to make our decisions independently, move quickly, and most importantly, not be constrained by any control function type of issues that you tend to encounter when you're in and around the orbit of a large incumbent, right? So it's sort of best of both worlds that we've been able to bring together here at Pruven, to get access to the depth and domain and distribution of a large incumbent, but not be constrained by some of the other things that come with that.
Yes, and I know in corporate venture, there are a lot more restrictions. So it sounds like you've got, as you said, the best of both worlds. And obviously, this is what smart money is all about, isn't it? It's about like being able to provide the networks and the contacts and the information to the startups that you're investing in, not just the money.
That's exactly right. And our thesis, Pemo, has been that as the venture world is and the startup ecosystem has graduated from, you know, technology for IT to technology for every vertical, you know, entrepreneurs are starting to face a whole different set of challenges and realities, right? When you start to innovate and disrupt verticals like financial services, insurance, real estate, agricultural, climate, you know, and start to go beyond just sort of electrons to atoms, there are lots of other things that you need to have in addition to just an amazing product and technology, right?
Yes.
And that's, those are the kinds of things like you need a very different kind of capital structure. You need access to compliance and regulatory know-how that are not a nice to have, but a must have in these ecosystems. Mm. You need to be able to have credibility, you know, with these ecosystems. And last but not the least, you need to be able to convert all of that into commercial revenue opportunities for yourself. And to do this, we believe that as entrepreneurs enter into insurance, financial services, real estate, prop tech, healthcare, these sort of verticals, having an incumbent as a potential sort of partner, you know, can be a big leg up. And that's what our platform at Proven Capital is designed to provide these entrepreneurs as they tackle these highly complex and regulated ecosystems.
Fantastic. And so what are you seeing? And we'll have to address the elephant in the room, of course, since the crisis. What interesting things and companies are you seeing to invest in?
So in my prior life, I was very fortunate to have been part of the fintech revolution, actually got involved in fintech before that was even a word. And so was really interested in iconic companies today like Square, DocuSign, Jet.com, Honey, Plaid, Grab, and the like. And we saw
how
some of these companies disrupted the financial services and the commerce and the retail ecosystem. And as we saw some of those things happen, our sense was that very equivalent scale of opportunities and very similar sort of paths to disruption and innovation are possible in verticals like insurance and real estate and the like. So we have been very focused on those verticals, Pemo. And within those, the exciting things are, if you take, let's just take insurance, for example. Individual and life side of those things. One theme that we've been spending a lot of time around is what we call actuarial to actual, right? So the march from underwriting, individuals on a population level or a population basis to, at individual level data, et cetera, is where the next big, opportunity is in the insurance ecosystem. And to do so, we have to obviously enable seamless, consent-driven digital access to various kinds of healthcare data on individuals. And that's something that we are exploring as a particular theme from an investment point of view. Similarly, if you look at how the insurance ecosystem is evolving, I had a very interesting a parallel to how autonomous vehicles have been going on that journey from level one to level five, right? On level one, and you sort of just a driver assist systems type of stuff like cruise control. And level five is full autonomy, in any situation, in any weather condition, in any location, etc. And I think very similar things are happening in the insurance ecosystem in the way they sell to customers, in the way they approach customers, in the way they sort of reach out to customers. So L1 in the insurance world to me is human mediated and human sold by advisors, brokers, etc. kind of products, right? L2 is evolving that to being done primarily through digital channels, right? It could be online, it could be on the web, etc. L3 is evolving that even further and saying that you could have some of these things embedded into a different experience, not your own, and therefore the UI UX starts to disappear, and you are leveraging third party ecosystems to do your both the distribution and the closing of the sale, etc. L4, is what we call ambient insurance, which is sort of switches on and off on its own like a utility by leveraging various conditions and data sources to verify those conditions, etc. So much like how the autonomous vehicle ecosystem is marching its path from L1 to L5, we're seeing something similar happen in the insurance world, and then we are absolutely investing in things that are pulling the ecosystem from the L1 side of the world, where a lot of the world is today, to the L5 side of the world. So that's another theme that we've been spending a lot of time around, and I can talk to a number of similar themes in real estate, prop tech, or healthcare, or financial services and asset management, etc., that we have been very focused on. But hopefully that gives you an idea of where we are focused.
It's a good parallel, actually. So thank you for that. What do you think has happened with the crisis? Obviously, there's been massive changes in the ecosystem and obviously globally. What do you think are the opportunities have come out of that? Because I've spoken to a few investors recently, and when the crisis first happened, I did a few podcasts then, but now they've actually had more experience of what actually manifested, and a lot of them say, investment is booming basically. What's your perspective of the opportunities that have come out of this crisis for startups?
Absolutely. So, Pemo, like with most things, there are positive and negative sort of ramifications of any big, massive sort of dislocation event like the COVID crisis and pandemic, right? So on the positive side, I think a few things that have definitely been notable. One is that for the entire world, it has been a giant experiment in digitization, right? The entire world has, in one matter of months or a few quarters has embraced, digital channels as they were the only channels that were working through the conditions or the realities that we all went through during lockdowns and not. So that has, a lot of people talk about COVID as the new and only chief digital officer that actually has been successful. All the others in various companies were trying, but really COVID was the actual chief digital officer for these companies, right? So the world has moved in many ways, 5 or 6 years, of adoption curve has been achieved in a single year in a matter of quarters, right? And that is going to have tremendous benefits for the tech and the tech-enabled and the tech-driven ecosystems across all of these verticals. So that part has been very, very positive. The second big positive thing in my mind has been there was this sort of a parochial, local kind of view that the venture ecosystem had on funding great entrepreneurs and innovators, right? So you always had to be in Silicon Valley, or if you wanted to be part of YC, you had to come to YC in Silicon Valley, et cetera, et cetera, right? And that, I think, has changed dramatically through this. The entire world has gone through tremendous change in a matter of few quarters. The venture ecosystem has gone through some tremendous changes too. No longer, are people sort of holding on to those beliefs that you have to be, in their neighborhood, you have to be in their physical proximity, et cetera, for them to partner with you and fund you and invest in you. And that has opened up, obviously technology trends like cloud and the like were enabling entrepreneurship to happen on a very, very global level. With this change, venture funding has also become truly global in my mind. So earlier you had sort of, I think venture was going global, but in a local fashion, which is in the US was focusing on opportunities in the US, and they would have an offshoot or a team in India, and they would do the India investments, and that offshoot or team in China, and that would sort of work there. But now I'm seeing lots of investors in the US investing in LATAM, lots of investors in from Asia investing in US startups, etc. So venture has truly become global. And place shifted. Location is no longer as big a determinant of where dollars are coming from or where they're going, which I think is a very, very big net positive, because this continuous drive of towards democratization, is only going to be valuable, powerful for all of us as humankind, because the challenges that we need to solve for that are coming up for us next. Yeah. 10 years are going to require, that we are truly addressing them across with all of our ingenuity on a global basis. And venture model has evolved very rapidly through the crisis to do so. So I think those are on the positive side. Some challenges, Pemo, are, there is always, whenever massive changes are occurring and you see one thing that's working, almost always, a lot more capital rushes in than can be absorbed. And that you're seeing the impact of that on the venture ecosystem through the amounts the amount of dollars that are coming in, the impact that's having on valuation and the number of companies that are getting funded to to attack a particular particular sort of opportunity. All of those things are going up and up and up, and that's usually not a good thing when it comes to creating great innovation at efficiently, right? So overall efficiency of the ecosystem is going to go down a little bit as more and more dollars are attracted towards tech, because it is one of the only few things that seem to be working through the pandemic. So to me, that has been a little bit of a downside of all of this. But all in all, I think the tech ecosystem has, and the venture ecosystem has, benefited tremendously from this big dislocation.
So I know when I first came to Silicon Valley from Europe in 2010, it was a cottage industry, venture capital. And in the time I've been there, definitely that's changed. But yeah, as you said, the COVID crisis is a real equalizer. And I only celebrate that because I've lived in quite a few countries and worked in quite a few countries. And I just see that, everyone... startups can happen anywhere, and everyone should have the opportunity to bring innovation to the world. So I think that's a really good thing to celebrate, really.
on that point, as they say, ability is distributed equally, but opportunity is not. And I think yes. This opportunity is starting to get distributed much more equally than it was in the past. And I think that's going to be a very big positive for all of us.
Yes, definitely. Just to wind up, how do you feel about the, again, another elephant in the room, how do you feel about the global shipping crisis? What's your perspectives or wisdom that you could contribute to that? Because I know that people are facing now the holiday season and getting a bit worried about not being able to get things on their shelves.
I think, again, with something like that, There are positives and there are challenges to that are being brought to the forefront here. On the challenges side, obviously, as you mentioned, I'll give you a very direct example. We are in the process of building out our offices, physical offices in Palo Alto, and the timelines for that build out have gotten pushed out continuously because of the supply chain challenges that the entire construction ecosystem and supply chain is dealing with right now. Mm. Right, so a bunch of things are on back order, a bunch of things are out in the middle of next year type of stuff. So everyone in every which way that we interact with the physical world, we are going to see the impact of the supply chain challenges. Mm. The positive side of it all is I don't think supply chain was even on anybody's mind in this way, and certainly on the venture ecosystems. Right. So on the positive side, I think it has brought all of this to the forefront. There's going to be a lot of investment and innovation going into this world, which was very.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Right. Very, very necessary, but it was just never at the forefront. So you see that in the semiconductor supply chain, there's a lot of positive energy around building out fabrication capability a lot closer onshore and making it more distributed than the prior model, where almost 70% of the world's semiconductors are built in by TSMC. So there are lots of things that are, I think, going to be very good in the long run to give the world more resilience around these sort of events. And there's also a big view towards just in case versus just in time kind of supply chain. So mostly the driving mantra in the past was always just in time efficient supply chains, but those things left you sort of vulnerable to the situation that we are all dealing with right now, and therefore there is a lot of rethinking going on the just in case kind of supply chains, which is you obviously optimize for the 99% case, but you also have the resilience built in for that 1% or more probability situation, right? So that's another big thing. And the last but not the least, most of supply chain today is it has been the evolution has been more in hardware than in software. And by that, I mean, you know, our containers have gotten bigger, our ships moving those containers have gotten bigger, et cetera, et cetera. But if you had to figure out where exactly is your, particular sort of consignment or something that you shipped from China, it's very hard until once it's left China and once before it shows up in Long Beach. Yes. It's very hard to know where it is, what they can say, how much longer, where will it be, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there is a lot of change coming to create that software and intelligence layer on top of this hardware based supply chain that we have. And that will allow a whole different level of digitization and visibility into the supply chain. So that my long way of saying, I think much needed innovation that was never even on people's minds. entrepreneurs never thought of supply chain as an opportunity area.
Yeah.
A lot of that is happening now, which is, again, as I said, a good thing for us in the long run.
Yes, definitely. I guess when there's some sort of stress or pressure on, in this case, globally, innovation just gets a life of its own. And it is really exciting to be a part of that. So always need to remember, no matter how much suffering we're all going through at certain times, that there's always that, like you said, that other side to the sword, which can be very positive. And of course, innovation always comes front and center then. Ramnik, absolutely delightful to talk to you today. Hope you can come back sometime down the line, and hope your offices in Palo Alto get built. It's my favorite location is Palo Alto. So all the best with everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pema. Really enjoyed the conversation and appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.